Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday, November 27th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. I am doing this podcast a little bit earlier today on Wednesday. MMAoddsbreaker.com is actually going through a few renovations right now that should make the site better for everyone. So the site will probably be down for a little bit today, but the podcast will obviously be available at YouTube and everywhere else you listen to the podcast: iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, Google Podcasts, everywhere. So I just wanted to get it out of the way this morning before the site actually does go through those renovations. So let's get right into it. Got a lot to talk about today, and I am feeling better. So thankfully, my voice should be able to hold up for the full podcast today. I haven't been feeling that good the last few days, but I'm feeling much better today. Okay, so let's start with Khabib Nurmagomedov. His father says that the contract signed, and he calls the Tony Ferguson fight a dream match for fight fans. He says the team is extremely excited for this fight. They're glad it's getting done. According to Tony Ferguson, it's not completely signed yet. So from his side, it looks like there is some pressure to accept the fight, the offer the UFC's given, but I feel like he's going to wait a little bit. This fight has to happen. There's no other fight that's going to happen. So I think Tony will actually get what he wants here. The UFC, I think, will eventually, I wouldn't say cave, but I think they'll give Tony a better offer than probably what he's getting right now. Khabib obviously is going to make a ton of money. Khabib's father said for the last fight, I think he made $6 million. Like, not disclosed, but that's what I think his father said. So I'm assuming Tony wants at least a few million. It won't be disclosed, obviously. It'll be much less disclosed. I'm assuming he'll probably get like $500,000 disclosed. But I'm sure he's going to wait out for a little bit for some extra cash. And he deserves it. And like Khabib's father says, this is a dream match for fans. Like he mentioned, and I've mentioned this last couple podcasts this week, this is the first time in UFC history two guys on 12-fight win streaks will be meeting for a UFC title. That's incredible. And 12-fight win streaks inside the octagon, of course. Khabib has a 28-fight win streak. He hasn't lost in his career. Tony Ferguson is incredible, too. 15-1 in UFC. So that's an amazing record. It truly is a dream fight. I absolutely love this matchup. Can't wait for it. All the fans are excited for it. I think this is going to be a really big pay-per-view for the UFC. I think that Khabib's turned into a massive draw for the company. I think Tony Ferguson's a pretty big draw as well. So I'm excited as hell for this fight, guys. Khabib signed the contract. Now it's on Tony, but I hope he gets paid what he deserves. I hope that there isn't pressure from fans for him to accept a bad deal. And I feel like this fight's taken so long to happen that Tony's going to just wait a little bit and wait for that deal that he deserves, thinks he deserves, and that he truly does deserve with that win streak he's got going on. So I'm excited as hell for this fight. It's close to getting done, guys. Can't believe it. This is the fifth time it's been booked. The last four times the fight's fallen off for whatever reason. I really, truly hope this fight happens this time. It's the fight we all want to see. So hopefully, fingers crossed, these guys stay healthy. They put them in some bubble wrap, and we see the fight April 18th in Brooklyn, New York. Leon Edwards, top welterweight contender, he called out Tyron Woodley again. He really wants to fight Woodley. This time he's calling out for a fight UFC London. So originally I thought that maybe Edwards and Woodley could fight on that Conor McGregor Cowboy card in January, but as we know, that card might not even happen. There's a lot going on with that. With as far as McGregor goes, just hasn't been signed yet. There are some kind of rumors out there that Conor could have some issues as far as the stuff going on outside the cage that is precluding him from getting this contract signed and to come fight in the United States. I'm 100% sure about that. I don't think any of us are at this point, but it's kind of weird it's taking this long. Like, they already know they have Cowboy as the opponent. Why is it taking this long? There must be something else going on outside of the cage, and I truly believe that's what's going on. So hopefully that fight does happen, but I'm not really holding my breath at this point. I mean, it's nearly December. Next week is December, and that fight is supposed to happen January 18th. I feel like the UFC, I talked about this yesterday, they booked that Pettis Diego Ferreira fight as almost like an emergency contingency plan as a main event for a fight night card. And that is a great main event for a fight night card. Can't headline a pay-per-view, but for a fight night card, it makes sense. So to me, this card will probably happen January 18th, but I don't know if it's going to happen in Vegas as a pay-per-view. Just at this point, it seems like it's kind of short notice now. I mean, guys that are being booked for this card are only getting, what, six, seven weeks so of a training camp. So I don't know if Conor and Cowboy want to do that. We'll see what happens. I do want to see that fight. I just feel like maybe it's not going to happen at this point. And that's why you see a guy like Edwards calling out Woodley for UFC London in March, not for this McGregor card in January. Like, Woodley hasn't fought since last March, so he's got to get a fight. I know that he feels like he deserves a title shot, but the truth is he got dominated by Usman, and he needs to get another win. So Edwards, nice win streak, 8-fight win streak. This fight makes a lot of sense. I like this matchup. I'm not saying it's going to be the most exciting fight. I feel like it could be a not so entertaining fight based on the style matchup, but it's a fight that makes sense. Edwards wants a title shot. He needs like that big marquee win. The Rafael Dos Anjos win was a step in the right direction, but he needs a bigger win than that. Woodley would be that win. And for Woodley, you know, this is a really stacked division. And if he wants to remain relevant, he's got to get another win against the top guy, and Edwards would be that guy. So this fight makes sense. UFC London co-main event to Robert Whittaker and Darren Till, which, again, is not official as the main event, but which seems extremely likely. That makes total sense as the top two fights in that card. A couple guys have been cut from the UFC, a couple decent fighters, Tarek Saffiedine and Sergio Moraes. So they both been released from the UFC. Tarek Saffiedine, I have interviewed him years ago when I worked at the Score. So it was probably like 7 or 8 years ago when he was the Strikeforce champion. This guy is, he was a really good fighter at one point, but he hasn't fought in 2 years, almost 3 years since June 2017. And he actually is on a 3-fight losing streak against RDA, Darren Kim, and Rick Story. His last win was against Jake Ellenberger in January 2016. So he hasn't won a fight in a while. He did have some really good performances back in Strikeforce. Like the Nate Marquardt fight was a clinic. He looked amazing in that fight. I believe that was the last Strikeforce card. Yes, it was the last Strikeforce card. He looked amazing in that fight. Came to the UFC, only went 2-4. He did have a nice win over Hung Yu Lim. It was the fight of the night. It was a great fight. That was a main event, actually. It was almost 6 years ago, which is insane to think about. But that was a tremendous fight. Go back and watch the fight if you guys haven't. Hung Yu Lim versus Tarek Saffiedine. Incredible matchup. Love that fight. That was almost a classic in many ways. But yeah, you know, overall, I think that he didn't perform the way some of us expected in the UFC, because in Strikeforce, he really was a good fighter. Like, he had some nice wins, a lot of decisions, but still a very sound technical fighter. And the 2-4 record in the UFC just didn't cut it. So, you know, he had an okay career, lost to some really good fighters. It is what it is. So, yeah, as far as getting cut goes, it would have been nice to see him get another fight. But at the same time, 2-4, and he hasn't fought since June 2017. I'm surprised it took this long for him to be released. Like, I feel like he could have been released a lot sooner. As far as Sergio Moraes goes, I'm not surprised at all he's been cut. Unfortunate, because, you know, he's a nice guy, and people really like him in Brazil. But, again, he is just not getting the job done. And his last call fights were all very good performances, 3 straight losses. Got knocked out by James Krause 2 weeks ago. Got knocked out by Warley Alves early this year. And also lost to Anthony Rocco Martin. So he had a really rough year, 3 straight losses. It does concern me a little bit for guys like Ben Saunders and Tim Means and guys like that fought him last year, that lost to him. They could be in the chopping block next. I mean, they're exciting guys, Saunders and Means, so maybe they would stick around a little bit longer. They're a little bit more exciting than Moraes. But yeah, Moraes, you know what? He actually had a decent run in the UFC. Overall, he had an 8-4, 8-5, and 1 draw. So that's not a bad run. But again, he hasn't won a fight in over a year against Ben Saunders. You know, he had some nice wins, though. Omari Akhmedov is a ranked fighter. You know, Neil Magny, who's a ranked fighter. And, of course, Tim Means and Ben Saunders. And also Davey Ramos. So he had some good wins. And at one point in time, he looked like a real solid contender, but just kind of fallen off. And his chin's not that great either. He's been knocked out 4 times in his career. So, including 3 times in the UFC. So, you know what? This guy, at age 37, I think he could possibly retire. But maybe he'll take a fight. Maybe in jungle fight. Maybe he goes to, like, 1 championship with Ryzen. I'm not too sure what's going on with Moraes. But 3-fight losing streak. UFC's cutting, guys. It's not a shock to see him go, although it's kind of sucks that, wow, I mean, it's been like, what, 2 weeks? You didn't get much time before they let go of him. A couple other things here. TJ Dillashaw, he's calling out Floyd Mayweather now. I mean, when I saw this headline, I was just like, wow, like, really? Like, you know, this guy, TJ Dillashaw, listen, I, a couple years ago, I mean, he arguably was the best pound-for-pound fighter in the sport. Like, he really was incredible. And on such a nice run, and some of the wins he had were so amazing. Like, obviously the Burrow fights and also like Garbrandt the 2 times as well. He had some amazing performances, but man, he tested positive. And you know, I know he's going on his little media tour right now, and he's talked about he's manned up, which, you know, I can respect the fact he's manned up, but this guy still cheated though. And he was cheating knowingly. So to me, it's a guy that I lost a lot of respect for. Even though he is manning up to it, I just, you know, you can't trust this guy anymore. So as far as him boxing Floyd Mayweather goes, I personally don't think that's a fight that anyone's interested in. I mean, this is not a fight he would get. He's not a draw, and he just tested positive. Floyd would never entertain this fight. I think the UFC probably laughed when they heard this. It's just not every fan and media member that's talked about this is just kind of like scoffed at it. It doesn't make any sense. This guy should really just focus on kind of fixing his image, because I feel like his image is tarnished a little bit. So, you know, I don't have anything against TJ. Like, personally, I have met him before. He was super nice to me. He's cool. And again, at one point he was a great fighter, but when you test positive, like, it puts an asterisk on everything you did in your career. So unfortunately, he has kind of rebuilt his name at this point, and calling on a guy like Floyd Mayweather, I don't feel like is the right way to do that, but I digress. Quentin Rampage Jackson is another MMA fighter who wants to box. He says that he's interested in boxing. He said that he wanted to box way back in the UFC days, never got done. He says he'll box anyone except for Deontay Wilder, who, by the way, has been booked to fight Tyson Fury in a rematch in February. That fight, I believe, is official actually now. I saw a headline this morning. So I think that fight's official for February, I believe, 22nd, something like that. So great fight, obviously, there. But yeah, Rampage, boxing, I mean, maybe. But, you know, for me, you should focus on Fedor. And I think Ryzen could possibly set up a boxing match for him, or DAZN with Bellator could set up a boxing match. So I feel like Rampage, he's 41 years old now. He did come off a nice win over Wanderlei in his last fight, but overall, this is a guy at the tail end of his career. If he wants to box, I don't have a problem with it necessarily, but it's just got to be an opponent that makes sense. Maybe they can find someone for him to fight on DAZN. Cindy Dandois, a former UFC bantamweight fighter and also a former Invicta and Bellator fighter, unfortunately was the victim of really a vicious assault by her ex-boyfriend, who's also an MMA fighter, Musti Brika. He was named in a Belgian Flemish newspaper. So this is tough to talk about because, man, she posted some pictures online and it's pretty bad. Allegedly the incident, and there's witnesses there. At this point, I'm not sure if we have to use the word alleged. It looks there's witnesses. So, I mean, to me, it's something that this guy is going to be in really big trouble for, obviously. He should. Her face got broken. Her nose got broken. Her face got keyed up. The guy used the key to cut her face open. She said she'll have a scar for life. Very sad stuff. Cindy also said that, you know, she doesn't want to see her ex-boyfriend go into prison. She'd like to see him, you know, kind of become a better person about this. But to me, this guy needs to go to jail, obviously. And the fact that he's the MMA fighter himself, he actually is a Cage Warriors veteran. He's fought there before. They were supposed to both fight in a fight card in Greece in 2 weeks. Al Zudlino at BJPenn.com, he confirmed that Cindy Dandois will still fight in this card. You know, I'm a little skeptical about that, I'll be honest, because that fight's supposed to take place in 2 weeks and her face is all mashed up right now. So I don't know if she'll be able to clear the fight. It's possible. She's a strong woman, obviously. You know, she went through a lot in this and I respect her, but 2 weeks from now to take a fight like that after the assault she just endured, I'm not sure if that's a great idea. So we'll see what happens there. But as far as her ex-boyfriend goes, I mean, I guess it depends if she presses charges, but at this point it might be something where the police can just press their charges because they have witnesses. So this guy's in trouble, man. And I hope she feels better. The pictures are very disturbing. You could see them at BJPenn.com. did the article yesterday. Very, very disturbing, very sad stuff. And I hope she feels a lot better. A couple of fight announcements here. UFC Raleigh gets a heavyweight bout between Alexa Kamur and Justin Ledet. So this is an interesting fight. This Kamur guy, obviously, is a protege of Stipe Miocic. He's a very good prospect, 5-0 in his career. So he's really young at 24, strong style fight team. 5-0, he had a nice win over Fabio Chiront on the Contender Series. Only been fighting since 2017, so pretty new fighter. And actually, excuse me, it's a light heavyweight bout. And Justin Ledet, of course, moved down to light heavyweight, I think, last year. He's 9-2 overall in his career. He had a couple of nice wins as far as UFC career against Chase Sherman, Mark Garbier, and Zanyu. But since then, he lost to Alexander Rakic and Johnny Walker at light heavyweight. The move has not panned out for him. Coming off that nasty knockout loss in just 15 seconds to Johnny Walker, this is a setup fight for Kamur. You know, at one point in time, I actually thought Ledet had a really good skill set with the boxing and the ground game, but he's just looked really bad and lost at light heavyweight. This is a guy that probably should move back up in weight. Sometimes moving down in weight is not the greatest idea eventually. So I think that in this case, it's kind of proven that he should have stayed up in weight. So yeah, you got to go with Kamur here, and I think he probably gets the job done in impressive fashion. And the other fight announcement is a women's fight between Vernda Jandiroba and Mallory Martin. That will take place at UFC Washington, D.C. Vernda Jandiroba, she has had one fight in the UFC. She lost the decision to Carla Esparza. She is a former Invicta FC strawweight champion. She was 14-0 before the Esparza fight. No shame in losing to Carla Esparza. Carla Esparza is a very good fighter, very underrated fighter. Just someone that people just kind of write off because she's so small and really only has one skill, which is wrestling, but she's very good with that skill. So in my opinion, no shame with that loss. I don't think that's a bad loss. And Jandiroba before that had, like I said, 14 fights in a row of wins. And then she'll take on Mallory Martin here, who's coming off a win in the Contender Series as well. She had her last fight in Invicta. She overall is 6-2 in her career, coming off a win over Cynthia Arceo in Invicta. And again, she had that win over Nicole DeSegni on Contender Series on a 5-fight win streak overall. 2 losses in her career, one of them is to Macy Barber, so no shame in that loss. The other loss is Suna Davi Dodder, tough name to pronounce, but yeah, she's in Invicta right now, and she actually fought, Kaylin Curran in that Phoenix FC series Phoenix series in Invicta FC. So she's not a bad prospect herself. So this girl doesn't have bad losses by any means, but Jandarova was a very dangerous fight. This is almost like an Invicta fight in many ways, but the winner of this fight for sure will take a step up in that women's strawweight division. My lean would be Jandarova just based on the fact she's had a full training camp, but Mallory Martin is a pretty skilled fighter, so we'll see what happens there. The only other things here, I'm just checking to look at some stuff. Cody Garbrandt called TJ Dillashaw a coward. No surprise there. You know, I was on TJ Dillashaw in both those fights where he knocked Cody out, and obviously, looking back now, I mean, he might have been on something. You never know. Can't blame Cody for feeling that way. I'm sure he's really upset. Darren Till says there's a 70-30 chance that Tyson Fury signs with the UFC. We'll see about that. I'm not 100% sure about that. I just feel like the money is not going to be the same. And why would he go and risk himself to lose an MMA win? He is making so much money in boxing. Like, he's probably going to make, you know, millions and millions of dollars to fight Wilder. No doubt about it. So why would he go back and take a pay cut to fight an MMA where he can get taken down, beat up? Doesn't make sense to me. I'll believe it when I see it. And Nordine Taleb announced that his next fight will be his retirement bout. So he's had a pretty good career as a Canadian fighter, obviously. And we'll see what happens as far as his next fight goes. Mickey Gall will not be fighting Carlos Condit, as we know, at UFC on ESPN 7. And then the UFC removed him from the card. I'm surprised they weren't able to find a replacement on short notice. Like, there's still a couple weeks left. Like, you would have thought that someone on the regional scene would have wanted that fight with Mickey Gall. Maybe UFC's kind of protecting Gall, and maybe they just wanted to give him a step up, and they couldn't find someone. Maybe they'll rebook that fight. Not 100% sure. To be honest, I really wasn't looking forward to that fight. I didn't like the matchmaking. I just feel like Carlos Condit at this point probably needs to retire. I mean, at this point, look at his record lately, guys. It's not very good. So, great fighter at one point in time, for sure, one of my favorites, but he's not looking very good lately. And Canelo Alvarez said that he's interested in the Jorge Masvidal fight because he thinks it's going to make a lot of money, but it's not a challenge for him. And I think we could all agree that as good as Masvidal's boxing is in MMA, the actual sport of boxing is a much different animal. Okay, guys, so thanks again for tuning into the podcast today. Like I said, MMAAltsberger.com will be down for the rest of the day, I believe, but it should be back up by tonight or tomorrow, so no worries there. You guys can check me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. This podcast, as always, MMAAltsberger.com, YouTube, SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, a lot of other places. I'm also available at BJPenn.com and MMARings.net, where I just posted an article about Michael Page and the just absurd matchmaking for Michael Page. So go check that article out at MMARings.net. Guys, have a great day. I appreciate you tuning in as always. I'll be back tomorrow for the Thursday edition of the podcast. Have a good one, guys. Bye.